Welcome to Desperate Parents of Hollywood with Greg and Stephanie Blum.
Why are we calling it that, though?
Because we hate living in Hollywood.
Then why are we here?
I don't know. It's Stephanie and Greg, your favorite new parents. Join the family.
What? New?
Because we are adopting our listeners as our family.
Okay. I think I ate too much.
Just now?
My stomach is exploding.
Stephanie had her stomach stapled, as you may have heard on last week's show.
I didn't have it stapled. I'm going to have your mouth stapled closed. I had the gastric sleeve.
I had the gastric sleeve.
Which actually saves me money because I eat, my meals last like three meals. One meal lasts.
Yeah, it pays for itself over like the next 30 years of your life.
If I make it that long. I ate a sandwich that was too big for my stomach.
Excuse me.
I didn't chew it and I ate too fast.
Okay, listen, this is what happened. And this today's episode is about death. As you may know, we had a guinea pig die. And in order to try and save its life, Stephanie spent $2,000!
Was it really $2,000?
Yes.
I'm so stupid.
She went to three different vets.
I needed a second opinion. And
each
then they
one
gave
said,
her intravenous fluids, and they did an ultrasound.
As they laughed all the way to the bank.
I'm so stupid. But you know what?
Sure, we'll operate on your guinea pig, lady. No problem.
But you know what? I will never feel that I didn't do everything I could to save Lava. I feel good about
that. But
you
don't have to save her.
Him. You don't even know what.
Well, anyway, we got another one, and she's fine.
I could have gotten like 10 of them for that money.
So that brings us to, what do you do when somebody's dying in your life? You try to keep them alive, obviously.
Yes, you do.
And Stephanie's friend just passed away yesterday. And she was how old?
40.
40?
Yeah. She just turned 40.
What kind of a cancer did she have?
She had lung cancer that metastasized to her brain. And very sad.
Are you crying?
I cry every time I think about it.
Well, because the kid, you know, she has two kids, 4 and 7. 7.
Yeah.
Like ours.
Yep. And it just makes you project yourself into that, what it would be like and how sad it is for them, you know? And for the husband, it makes me cry. I'm so sad.
You saw him this morning. How did you find out?
A friend of mine, somebody posted it on Facebook.
Oh.
Because we've all been, the community's all been like, you know, trying to connect him with this drug company. He was looking for a specific drug that shrinks tumors, but it's in trials, and he was trying to get that for her. But she was too sick. I don't even know if they got it and they tried it.
Oh, they did get it, you think?
I'm not sure, because once I heard that she passed away yesterday, I didn't ask him that.
So what happened this morning when you saw him?
I saw him. He was on the phone and I just hugged him. Like, I just gave him a hug. He was unshaven and exhausted looking.
And he was taking the girls to school?
He took the little one to school because the little one still goes to school with our little one. But the other one is in first grade, like Lonnie.
Is she in school too?
Probably. I think you're supposed to really just keep everything the same.
Yeah.
And what are they going to do home all day? You know, they should be distracted. And you just wonder how much she really gets, the four-year-old.
Do you know if he told them yet?
I don't know.
Did you see the...
No, I didn't see her.
Kevin's mother?
No, not today. I haven't seen her since.
It's so hard, you know, you think... How
it's
do you...
like you want to do something, like yeah, you want to help, you want to make it better, you want to help the kids, you want to... You know, so we're all going to get together and all the moms and try to make, you know, we'll make dishes and bring them over. And I thought maybe we can all like set up a plan where we have play dates for them, you know, every week they go to a different house or do something so that they're distracted. Because when you're in this mode, it's like automatic. You're on autopilot. You got.
You mean the husband?
Yeah, I remember you're focused on getting things done. You have to get an outfit for her to wear. You have to make arrangements, talk to the rabbi, tell people, have a shiva. You know, it's a whole thing. I mean, you just focused on doing that so you don't stop and think. And the hardest part is afterwards. Like, you're in shock. You're really in shock, you know? And afterwards, when it's quiet, it's when you're like, I can't believe it, you know? Sad.
So yeah, and the other thing that's so hard is, what do you tell the kids? I mean, I know at different ages you're supposed to tell them different things.
And I always wonder, like, of course it's better to have your mother longer, of course. But like, is it harder to lose your mother when you're older because you had so many memories with her and it's so painful? Or when you're younger, when you don't really remember? But then you have this hole, like this loss your whole life that isn't filled, you know? Like, it's never filled. Unless you get a really good stepmom, you know?
That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen very often, does it?
I don't know.
The stepmom's usually evil.
Yeah.
Because it's not the mom.
They locked them in the gingerbread house.
But
oh, that's the wrong.
But you story. Know. But seriously, how can a kid accept a stepmom? That seems even worse. You know, you're trying to replace.
But your I mother. Guess also they're so young. They need a mom. You know, they need a. They're not old enough to know that they don't want that mom. Like, I think that's a teenager thing, or a 12, 13, 16. But when they're 4 and 7, they need a mom. And Maxie's not going to remember much. I mean, she's so little.
Yeah, it's probably.
And the last year, she was sick.
The mom was sick.
Yeah, like 8 months, the last.
She's been in the hospital that time.
In and out, yeah, and sick and couldn't drive, not feeling well. I mean, it metastasized to her brain, so she couldn't drive.
Did she smoke?
No.
How come so many, it's lung cancer is really becoming so much more prevalent?
I know. I don't know. And she was so young, too. I mean, it's unbelievable. Even people smoke sometimes don't get it till later. I mean, my dad didn't get lung cancer till he was like 65, you know, and he smoked a long time.
But then he lived another
15 years, which is actually very unusual. But that's because it was caught very soon and it was on a lobe that could be removed. So he didn't need treatment. But to be honest, lung cancer, my dad was very lucky because usually it's pretty, but it doesn't end well.
Did he die of lung cancer?
Yeah. Well, I guess yes, because he had radiation. He got it in his other lung and he needed treatment because they couldn't reach it to do surgery.
So the lung cancer came back. They radiated.
And then the radiation kind of killed him.
Right.
Because they burned the lung. I mean, it's not obviously a perfect science there.
You have to know when to stop, I think, too. You know, like my dad.
When to stop. Yeah. I mean, my dad isn't like that. He follows the rules.
Yeah.
My dad is like, you tell me to do this, I do it.
Yeah.
Whether it kills me or not.
Yeah. But you can't, you know, the doctors aren't God.
And you don't know that till after because, you know, you go through the radiation, but the scarring happens later.
Oh.
And that's what causes difficulty breathing. And
my father had colon cancer, and he went for, I don't know, maybe half of his chemo treatments. And I don't remember if it was radiation too.
I don't know.
But that was also like 20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean.
And then he stopped.
Some people get lucky. I don't know why. I mean, one of our friends now at our son's school has breast cancer again, and she had it, and it went, you know, she had treatment, and she has it again, and she looks very bad. She didn't want to tell her mother that she has it came back because her mother's fighting it, too. They both have it. Actually, Carissa's
I don't want to know people.
Who first friend I know who passed away, actually. I mean, I've had death, my mom, and my grandparents, but I've never had a friend, actually, that I was
your close friend's to. Husband.
Who, Randy? but I didn't know him.
You know, I don't know a lot of people. I mean, I'm not friends with a lot of people, but you are. So I'm surprised that you don't, you know, you're lucky that you haven't had more people. Mm-hmm. We should be thankful, you know.
I am.
Grateful. Very. And then we also, you know, I was thinking how those people you always see on TV who are very religious and have faith and they're like, it's okay. She's in a better place now, you know, and she's with God in the arms of the Lord.
Yeah. Well, you
don't you feel jealous of people who have that?
They're comforted by that?
Yeah.
Like
they're really comfortable with it.
Yeah. And if honestly, if she didn't have such young children, I would feel like she's out of pain now.
Right.
She was suffering. I would feel that way, but only because she has kids that I feel sad for them. I don't necessarily feel sad for her because she's out of pain. You know, I feel bad for her that she can't share her children's life.
Yeah. Well, that we don't know.
We know. Listen, my mom isn't sharing my life, and she's not here, you know? So, yeah, maybe she's sharing it up there, but it's not the same for me or her.
It might be
better. Maybe it's the same for her because she's not in pain either, but I just, this funeral is going to be a nightmare, you know? I'm like so dreading it. I mean, not that anyone's happy about going to a funeral ever, but some funerals are particularly devastating.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, for old people, it's just,
you're like, thank God they were so annoying. Why do people who are so annoying live so long? And nice people with children die. Why?
Well, I'm glad you're getting comedic material from
it. Thank you. This is my therapy.
I love you. You're my sweetheart.
But I swear, like, I felt like everyone was, like, hugging their kids this morning and just being more attentive. And it just makes you appreciate what you have. But it's so freaking scary because one minute you're walking along and the next minute you're, like, dying.
Well, we're all always dying. We don't realize it.
Yeah, but I mean, you're really dying quickly at an accelerated rate.
Well, yeah.
I wonder what you think, like what your thoughts are at that.
Well, like, you know, that's what Katie Couric was talking about on Howard Stern, you know, because he was saying, I would think I would want to record something for my kids. And she said when her husband was dying that they didn't want to acknowledge it. You know what I mean? They were more like, well, we're just going to fight it. You know, if something happened, well, we'll just go, we'll take care of
it.
And doing that and recording something and admitting to it was
defeat.
And it wasn't something that they wanted to face, which is how you really have to look at it.
I know. Like, how do you come to terms with it? That's what I mean. Like, how do you, I don't know.
What do you mean?
Like, no, except that you're dying.
Oh, you yourself?
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, it's like you have to. You know, it's the best thing to do, I think. Otherwise, isn't it worse if you don't accept it? Or are you just saying that, you know, anything, you're just waiting
For
something to help you, and hopefully it'll turn around if you don't give in.
Right.
I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, because people say they fight it and their positive attitude was helpful to them.
Like, well, that's what Steve Jobs said. He was, you know, kind of very, he always believed that anything he imagined he could do, and he thought he could defeat it himself.
Right.
And
did he not have treatment?
I don't know if he never had it or he waited too long, but he figured he could always beat it. And same thing with Michael Landon. Remember
I'm
Michael
Landon? Treatment, man. That's why I swear when everyone has a little cough, I'm like, get an X-ray.
Well, you need to, Yeah, well, your friend that just happened to.
Yeah, I mean,
Stephanie's really good. You saved her.
Well, I wish
this other friend she has who's 70.
Yeah, she's like 75, actually. She's older, but she's very active. She's very, like, she puts us to shame, basically. She travels China and India.
And she has polio, too.
She's polio. She gets around. She volunteers at the Bronx Zoo. She's unbelievable. Like, she's just really full of energy. Goes to the theater and the ballet. And she was having trouble breathing. Like, all of a sudden, she wasn't feeling good. She couldn't even walk a block. And so she goes to the doctor and he's like, oh, it's, you know, maybe you have a virus, maybe you have an infection. He gives her medication. She still can't breathe. This is going on like for, I don't know, 2 weeks. Can't breathe. Can't walk a block. A woman that used to walk 10 blocks, you know, no problem. And she sounded horrible on the phone. She's out of breath. I was like, what the hell is going on? She's like, well, my... And then she said, I think it's psychological. And I go, what? No, 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 no. You are sick, you know?
Well, what did the doctor say?
So I said, well, he said, you know, it's probably some sort of virus, you know, that you have pneumonia. Oh, he told her she had pneumonia. She's on medication and the medications make her feel. Oh, and then she was feeling dizzy and she was having like heart, like everything was just really bad. Like, and she couldn't breathe. Like, she couldn't breathe. And then she started to panic because she lives alone. And she's like, she woke up and she couldn't breathe and she was like, I'm going to die. And then she started freaking. She's having panic attacks. You know what I mean? So it was all like getting confusing.
Yeah.
And I go, get an x-ray. Get, maybe you have lung cancer. Maybe you have something that, you know, obviously something's wrong with your heart or your lungs. You have some clot or something. So she's like, okay. So she calls a doctor and she goes, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but my friend told me, How do I know I don't have lung cancer? I need a chest x-ray. He said, oh, no, we got you a chest x-ray. She said, no, you didn't. We have it. He goes, oh, yeah, I moved my offices. Like, he changed offices. And he thought he gave her an x-ray. But he hadn't given her x-ray in 2 years. Goes to the doctor, gets an x-ray. She actually has something wrong with her heart. She's had a regular heartbeat. And one of her valves in her heart is... something's wrong. She needs heart surgery.
Oh, so that's congestive heart failure,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, her lungs were filling up with fluid. Oh, another week, she'd be dead, you
now,
know?
This was like, what, about 3 weeks ago?
About 3 weeks ago, a month, yeah.
And now
she had her heart straightened out. They put it back the rhythm.
Medication,
feeling much better. She still has to have the surgery, but she's functioning not as well as she did.
What surgery?
For her heart, her valve. Oh. There's something wrong with her valve in her heart. That so she would have been dead, like, because of carelessness of a doctor.
But that always happens with doctors. Like, every time you ask them something, you find out that they either forgot or they made a mistake.
Right. And then she said, well, what does my blood test show? He's like, oh, it's normal. And then he goes back to look at her blood test after he sees. Knows the situation. Oh, he goes, oh, yeah, you do have an elevated blah, blah, blah. But he didn't make anything of that elevation.
Anytime you have a doctor like that, it's time to get a new doctor.
I think
wouldn't
so.
You rather have a doctor that's overly careful?
I do. I like a cautious, very... I like a doctor that's nervous.
You know, my... my parents' doctor in New York...
I went to him. Is that the
Goldstein? He calls them constantly, and he stays on the phone with them for an hour.
Yeah,
you know, making sure everything's okay and the slightest little thing. When I went to him, he thought I had an irregular heartbeat or something too. He made me go for extra tests and stuff like that. I mean,
I think better safe than sorry. You know, and nowadays things are so missed. You know, like things. My mother would have been saved if she had an MRI, or if she had an x-ray that was higher up in her body, not in her lower back, but further up in her lung.
Because she had lung cancer, but they thought she just had some like arthritis in her back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And until she had a cough, that's when she went for the MRI, and that's when they found the cancer, which she had for years, you know?
It was 9 millimeters
years. Years. I mean, she was having pain for a long time. And that's why now whenever anyone, you know, and you don't think of it, like you don't know how serious it is. You know, people have aches and pains. Old people complain.
Well, you never know. Right. You never know what if right. it's serious or
and
not.
You know, old people go, oh, my back, oh, my this. And you're like, ugh.
It's normal.
You know, my brother has this growth on his back that is like this big. And he told me he had surgery years ago because he had a liver abscess. And so he had to have his liver drained.
Oh, yeah.
And he said it's like a something from where the site was, where they drained, where the drain went in. But it's grown. Like it was little and now it's really big. And it burns him. It itches him. And I said, what do you, you have to go to a dermatologist. I don't know if that's not cancer, like a tumor.
Is it? Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I should go. I go, please.
Why don't you take him to our dermatologist while he's here?
Oh, that's a good idea.
Uncle Larry's visiting. In case anybody remembers Uncle Larry.
Uncle Larry's visiting.
He's Stephanie's...
He hasn't made in anyone's bed yet.
He's Stephanie's retarded brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he... You may remember that he... Last time he went away on vacation to Vermont, he peed in the bed and they called Stephanie and said...
I have to pay for the mattress.
Yeah, they had to charge her. But did he pee in this hotel?
No.
How do you know?
The bed... He says it's the pool's unheated, the room's too small, there's not enough restaurants.
It's not enough. How many restaurants do you need?
A lot.
How about one restaurant with a lot of food?
I'm trying to think of who I could bring him to. Do we have a dermatologist?
Yeah.
Who do we have?
Hartman.
Oh.
He's great.
That's a good idea. This is very uplifting.
Yeah, this is supposed to be a comedy show.
Meanwhile, though, everyone I talked to today, it's about this. You know, everyone at the temple, everyone. And so then we're all sitting in this grief, right? And then I'm like, I was talking to the office staff, the receptionist who I'm friends with, and we were just sitting there and going, oh, it's so sad, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like, all right, everyone, have a nice day.
Did they laugh?
Yeah, because it's like you just... come in and it's like a cloud, you know, just a cloud.
What happened last night? Stephanie signs with a manager.
Oh.
And all of a sudden she comes into my office at like 5 o'clock. I gotta go out to the improv. It's for my career.
I did get good pictures though.
And I'm like, who's gonna watch the kids? Oh, you are. Ha ha ha. Bye. And
hey, listen, I gave him a bath. I cleaned
up. So what was the purpose of going to this club in the middle of the week?
I don't know.
You didn't perform?
No. I did see one of her clients perform, though.
But what was... why did she bring you? What was her reasoning?
In her mind, it was like to meet industry, but she didn't know who would be there and who wouldn't be there. So basically, I don't know, to be her date.
Oh, great. So who did you meet?
I met the Iron Sheik.
Who's that?
The wrestling guy from Iran. The famous wrestler, the Iron Sheik. You never heard of him?
No.
And I met the millionaire matchmakers.
Wait, who? That couple?
Yeah, the couple's married. Name? I don't even know their names, but I was
the
very...
one with this big spiky hair?
I think I was more excited than anyone there to see them. I'm totally serious. Like, I was like, oh my God.
You said that to them?
Yeah. I'm so excited. Yeah. I was like, me and my husband watch you all the time. You're awesome.
Their names are Rachel and Destin. Did you say you lost weight? And
I said you look beautiful.
Aw, what'd she say?
She's a little bitchy.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit. She's like, thanks. Like, she's gotten a little attitude, like, even on the show. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
She's definitely gotten a little attitude now that she's thinner and they redid her makeup and her hair and everything. And they were sitting with a porn star. It was just a weird.
What porn
star? Oh, Jeremy was there.
Ron Jeremy?
He's at every event, like every comedy event.
What's wrong with him?
This was called the Twitter Awards. It was one of those things that they give out awards for people on Twitter who have the best Twitters.
What?
Twitter.
Tweets?
Tweets, yeah.
Who decides?
I have no idea.
Who are the judges?
I have no idea. It was just they had six.
Was it televised?
It was. There was cameras. There were video. They were taping it.
So were these people, these celebrities, were they presenters?
Yes. Ron Jeremy was Jeff Ross.
Anytime
what
Ron Jeremy is
Ron
featured,
Jeremy's in any of these
right
like oh, award things. It was one of those funny.
So
I didn't get home late. I got home at 9.
I know that was good.
Yeah. Well, I told her like I said, let you know. She goes, anytime you want to leave. I was like, I want to leave. I think she wanted to see her client perform.
Did her client perform well?
Yeah, he was a presenter.
What's his name?
Brian something, I don't know. And he presented and he did like 4 minutes of stand-up.
Okay.
But those are friggin' weird crowds to do stand-up in. They're not even, it's weird.
Yeah,
you know who is it? Who is the host? The Sklar Brothers.
Those guys, those twins?
Yeah.
With the glasses?
Yeah, they're funny.
Are you kidding?
I like them a lot.
Those guys who do the Time Warner cable commercials?
They're comics. They're hilarious. They're actually really funny. I mean, it's one of those B celebrity nights, you know? But Jeff Ross was there.
But Jeff Ross is hilarious.
But he really didn't do material. Like, he did like 2 minutes.
So what was he do? What was the point of him being there?
He got an award.
Oh.
All the people that were there got an award. Like, the Iron Sheik and the, you know, and then the Millionaire Matchmaker were, what's her name wasn't there, Patty, but the other two.
So you took pictures with these people?
I did. I was very excited. That made my night.
All right, I'll put the pictures up.
I said we could put them up on our website. The night is not lost. And I had a good Caesar salad sandwich. It doesn't take much to excite me and, except in bed. And
I've been trying for 20 years.
And that was it. And
my tongue is tired.
And you know what? It was a good time for me to get to know Barb a little bit. We actually had
her new manager,
yeah,
she's talking about.
And to see where she's at and what she's going to do for me. And
so what do you think about that?
Well, I think she's a little, I think that I made it clear that I'm not interested, that I have a very happy life. And I'm not interested in running around doing nonsense, like just to go to auditions. I want to go do things that are going to make sense for me, that I could possibly get, you know, that are right for me. I think she gets that. You know, in that I have to pick and choose what I can do because of my family. And, you know, she was talking about writing a book, like, you know, like, I came up with this idea of writing a book because basically, I guess when you go on something like a show, you should have something to promote, of course, like a book, you know, whether it's a parenting book or, you know, and I told her about our radio show. Listen, she may do nothing, but it may motivate us to do something.
What book do you have?
I would like to write a book on parenting from my side and your side, like how men and women parent differently. But make it funny, like how you, when Noah came home and he was crying and I say, what's wrong with Noah? And you go, I don't know. And I said, well, did you ask him? You go, yeah. He said nothing. Like that's a man's point of view.
Right.
And a woman's point of view is, you know, and then how the multitasking, just like how we parent differently, how you say, let him do it himself. So I think just how I try to protect him.
It's an interesting topic.
Well, I think it'd be awesome because it could be one, like how we handle a situation, Greg's way, my way, and it could just be a bunch of topics.
Well, you never taught him how to pee standing up.
Well, because that, I don't have that.
And I never taught him to pee standing up.
I actually did when he was little. I bought those little piddle things that he's supposed to aim at. You know what I mean? And that's how I taught him, but then you started telling him to sit down.
Well, I didn't want
him. Now he's a pussy.
No, I just don't want him to make a big mess.
Yeah, but now the kid can't pee outside.
So
like
what?
A man.
He doesn't go to the bathroom outside anyway.
There will be a time he has to go to the bathroom.
Well,
he'll pee on himself. He peed in his pants.
No, he did not.
He did so when he missed. He didn't know how to pee.
When did he try peeing?
And shake his penis off.
When did he try that?
I don't know, like 4 years, 5 years ago, and that was the last time.
I'll never pee again.
It's not funny, really.
To me, it's
really another way to make him feel inadequate as a man. That's
what?
One thing you guys could do is pee standing up. You don't have a lot on us women, and that's one thing you could do.
Women
and he
can
pee
standing
enjoy
up.
It. Not like that. He can't even enjoy it. Should teach him to be a man.
Now, when our daughter asked me the other day, 7-year-old, how come we don't have to wipe ourselves after we pee? I said,
I don't know. Let me show you.
I said, I did not. I said, because there's a hole. We have a hole and it comes from the outside and yours comes from the inside.
All you have to do all you have to do is say,
well, what would you have said?
Girls wipe themselves and boys don't. We're just built differently. And girls,
yeah, but don't you think that would make her ask even more questions and make her more curious?
She's been asking about how do babies get in there.
Oh, jeez.
And what do I do?
I told her the man has to plant the seed. Is that wrong?
You didn't.
I think I did, but like a long time ago.
I don't know. I may have to tell her the truth.
What? No.
I can't?
I don't know. At 7? That a man puts his penis? No, I don't think so.
A mom has eggs. And a dad has?
No. And the dad has how a about seed.
Where does the seed come from, mommy?
Why do you always sound like Pebbles when you do our daughter?
That's how you imitate little kids.
I don't like it. Not one bit.
That's Barney. I explained it to you. That's Barney. When he was learning how to do ventriloquism, he was freaking out Fred by making believe Pebbles was talking. So he was like, hello, daddy. And they had like his his mouth didn't move, but they had those little lines coming out, like the sound.
I get it. Do you want to go to the funeral?
Why would I want to go to a funeral?
To support him.
Well, do you want me to?
Not really. I just thought it would be respectful. If you came.
So. But why doesn't he make it earlier in the day while the kids are in school?
I don't know. Let me ask him.
She could have died on Thursday and you could have had the funeral on Sunday. Kim. Don't hate me. I'm just trying to be funny.
I don't hate you. Oh, you mean other people?
Yeah.
I can't stop that. They don't know you like me.
Please stop cracking your knuckles.
I'm in mourning.
So?
I could do what
Stop.
I want.
Stop. Get out. I don't want to do
you
anything
get out.
Else with you.
You get out.
Get out. I don't
you
want to do
it. You get out.
Stop screaming. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. And like us on Facebook, The Stephanie and Greg Show.
Bye.